Welcome to the Crude Life Podcast, because when you're making money, sometimes life can just be crude. Hey folks, how you doing? My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and talk show host. And on today's episode, I interview Dave McCarthy, Senior Director of Products for B-Square. B-Square is an industrial IoT solutions provider that offers data analytics solutions for oil and gas companies as a sector of application to help them maximize efficiency and improved uptime. This is that technology integration we've been talking about so much. Well, these are one of the companies that does that right here in the oil and gas industry. Dave McCarthy, Senior Director of Products for B-Square. He speaks regularly at technology conferences across the country, and we're excited to have him here on the program to talk about the integration of technology and oil and gas. Also, the age demographics and technology and oil and gas. And also, big data. All that plus much more great technology talk, IoT talk, research and development talk, right here on the Crude Life Podcast. Dave McCarthy, Senior Director of Products, B-Square, in just a moment. But first, I want to take a moment to remind you good folks to please support our sponsors. They literally keep our lights on.
It's a rider shining with a marquee sign. A frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Riding up the smile face.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Hi, this is Dave McCarthy, Senior Director of Products at B-Square Corporation.
First of all, how about your background? I had a quick a skim of your background. It looks like you keynote a number of technology conferences. It looks to me like you've got a pretty decent background in the world of innovation and technology.
Yeah, I got started in software and technology about 20 or so years ago. In fact, actually, the first company I worked for was an ABB company that was doing simulations of ethylene and polystyrene plants. And so for me, what I really enjoyed about it was trying to use technology to solve some sort of a business problem. And I would say, you know, as you look through the things that I've done over the years, you know, that's always stayed true.
Did you stay kind of in that ethylene, that oil and gas technology stage, or is this kind of coming full circle to get back involved in the oil? And we'll get into the oil and gas a bit in just a minute or two. Are you coming full circle, or is this something that you just kind of stuck with the whole time?
Yeah, no, it's so it just happened to be that right out of school, I got started at that company, and it was a great way of getting grounded. But then I kind of took a detour into just general technology areas, a lot of aspects around, you know, mobile and networking and data solutions, and then as the sort of these concepts sort of coming together again under the umbrella of IoT, and now specifically industrial IoT, all of a sudden I found myself back in that industry again. So it's been interesting to, you know, to see it all come together.
I kind of chuckled as you were talking because, you know, my first job, I was 10 years, well, picking rocks when I was five, but that doesn't count. But my first job that I got a check from a third party was a paper boy. I was 10 years old. And the thing that I learned was the importance of logistics through that as far as the day-to-day distribution and going door-to-door, that sort of thing. And then my job out of college was working for a trucking company, of course, When you work for a trucking company, it doesn't take long for you to absorb just the whole logistics that go into a trucking company and that sort of thing. And then now that I'm in oil and gas, I kind of feel like I'm going back into the logistics business again, even though it's oil and gas, because when I look at everything involved with oil and gas, the logistics are off the chart. I mean, they have some of the most complex and some of the most innovative uses for logistics. And then when you bring in sort of the technology aspect of automation and simplifying, is that kind of where, first of all, how B squared, talk about what you guys did and then transition, or what you guys do and then transition to how it is you got connected in the oil and gas world. I'm just assuming these days almost everybody is getting involved with logistics, but I guess I thought ahead with my transition. But go ahead and talk about your company and how you guys got into oil and gas.
Well, yeah, so B squared in general helps industrial companies improve the uptime, manageability, and performance of capital-intensive, often mission-critical assets. We do that through a set of pre-built applications that align to common oil and gas use cases and that are built on our DataV industrial IoT platform. But, you know, what's interesting about it is it doesn't matter whether I'm talking to an oil and gas company or a manufacturing company or a transportation company. You ask them, you know, how important it is of doing sure uptime of critical operations, how important is it to make sure that you're running, you know, whatever process you're doing efficiently. And those same use cases are very portable between industries. And so when B Square in general looked at, you know, IoT, there was one thing that we knew we didn't want to do, and that was the consumer side with, you know, wearables and home automation. You know, we wanted to go and solve, you know, big problems for big companies. And it just happens that oil and gas is just one of those industries where there's a lot of those opportunities.
Well, and that was one of the things I'd written down, was particular industry or department / internal. And it sounds to me like you guys are doing more of the internal customizations as opposed to coming up with a technology that is beneficial to one specific industry. You guys are involved in multiple industries outside of oil and gas, correct?
Yeah, you know, so whether it's we've got customers in manufacturing, we do some work in transportation, we're doing some space, work in the utility space around electric utilities and oil and gas. And what's interesting is, you know, it really does kind of subdivide into two major categories. There are the equipment manufacturers or OEMs that are providing, you know, equipment and services into those spaces. And then there are the, you know, the owner operators or fleet managers, whether it's a fleet of oil pumps or the fleet of trucks. I mean, either way, it's people that have to live and manage and use that equipment. And so when, you know, myself or B Square as a company looks at these things, we try to not just understand that initial sort of point of entry of maybe where data is being collected or generated, but it's how do all these pieces fit together? Because, you know, when you really start getting into it, I mean, there's, you can almost start sort of blurring lines between the types of use cases these industries have.
I'm going to back up for just a second, and I should probably define IoT. What is IoT for the layman out there?
Yeah, so it's funny. I'll tell you that when even to this day, I'll walk into an industrial company and I'll say that I'm in the IoT business, and they'll say, "What is IoT?" And to me, that's completely acceptable. I mean, it's a high tech industry term now that's come together to really encompass a lot of different technologies, everything from being able to have, you know, sensors and data connectivity to get information off of equipment, all the way to the analytics that's used to be able to understand what that data means, and then tying it into the automation so that, you know, if you think about or if you believe any of the analyst projections about, you know, it doesn't matter if it's millions or billions or trillions of data points, when you need some way of getting the human out of the picture a little bit to achieve that scalability. And so it's kind of a, to me, IoT isn't any one thing that's new, but it's how these things are being brought together. But when a company doesn't understand the term IoT and I ask them in a different phrase, I say, well, do you have some sort of a connected initiative, or are you doing some sort of a digital transformation or that kind of thing? You know, those terms resonate more. And what I say is that IoT just happens to be a method of enabling those initiatives.
Reason I asked that was, next question is about the learning curve. Oil and gas, it's no secret that there's a lot of seasoned veterans out in the oil and gas world, and I know a lot of other industries are like that, where, but oil and gas specifically, I mean, we're talking about 60, 70% of the industry that's going to retire in the next 10 years. So, I mean, there is some younger people that are going to come in and replace them, that sort of thing. That vetting period is happening as we speak. But my question to you is that how are some of these seasoned veterans accepting this technology? You know, on one hand, you can't teach a new dog old tricks. And on the other hand, you know, they're kind of got one foot out the door on one hand. So are they accepting this, you know, understanding that they kind of got to straighten up for the greater good on this deal?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's company specific, but from like a trend perspective, I completely agree with you that there is definitely a feeling in that industry about, you know, we've always done it a particular way, and maybe even just some skepticism as to whether or not, you know, this technology works, or is just this some money I'm going to throw down a hole and never get back again. But then you temper that with the other part that you brought up, which I see all the time. It's somebody coined the term, it's the gray 2K, if you will. But again, this aging workforce that people now have to figure out, like, how do you capture all of that institutional knowledge that's been there for so long so that the next generation can benefit from it? And that's exactly one of the things that I see people using IoT to do. I mean, it's kind of like a new version of maybe the expert systems in the past, where, you know, you're starting to take that knowledge and put it in a programmatic way so that the junior guys can actually work at a higher level than if they didn't have it there.
Dave McCarthy, B Squared, on the line with us. We're talking about some of the technology changes happening in oil and gas, and you've got some customers, you said, in oil and gas. I mean, do you want to name a couple of them? Are you guys allowed to do that? I know sometimes they like to keep things hush hush, but on the other hand, hey, if you got a good one and somebody hears, then they think, hey, well, they're good enough for them, they might be good enough for us.
Yeah, fair enough. And so the answer right now is, unfortunately, everybody wants to be secretive about what they're doing, and I'll tell you why. It's because they see, one of the reasons, aside from maybe the issues that we talked about earlier, is concerns around competitive advantage. You know, how do these companies get ahead of each other? How do they compete better? And they're looking at this technology as one way to do it. And so I've seen this in other industries as well, where for the first year or so, nobody wants to say anything because they want to kind of build a little bit of a gap. And then when they get ready, they do big announcements. But I can say that as far as the types of work that we've done, it's been across the spectrum. So we've been working with some people on the E&P side around, you know, how do we improve the uptime of wells in the field. We've been doing some work with some equipment manufacturers that are doing, you know, bearings and other compressors and pumps. And even things in, I would consider, you know, sort of downstream plant operations where you know, again, that sort of uptime or downtime, I should say, is the enemy. And so, you know, an unexpected plant shutdown could cost, in some of these cases, like $1 million a day of lost production. And so, you know, all of these are like examples where I think some of the techniques that we bring is improving the outcomes for those businesses.
Doug Burgum, North Dakota governor, up here in the Bakken oil field, over the last Petroleum Council annual meeting, talked about some pretty lofty goals, including like 2 million barrels a day and, you know, no flaring and a number of different things. And, you know, on one hand, you might think, to the average person, might think, wow, these are pretty aggressive. I mean, we're doing 1 million barrels now and he wants 2 million. And, you know, we're flaring this amount and we want this. But he backed it up by saying, you know, big data. And then, you know, when you start thinking about layering in all the other big datas, and he was basically saying, now that we've collected this data over the last few years, let's do something with it and let's layer it together. Maybe bring in the UAS data, maybe bring in the ag data. And what I hear on two different levels is, one is companies like yourself that are helping oil and gas and other industries streamline their internal logistics, really, at the end of the day, are setting hooks for two future things. One is to save money down the line. Okay, yeah, that first, you know, bump might be there, but you're going to see how it's going to save money. And secondly, you're going to see new opportunities open up as you layer in some of this data. Am I out of line for thinking like that, or am I reading the tea leaves right?
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I can give you a couple of reasons why I believe that. I mean, number one, I think sometimes a misconception with IoT as a term, because it was sort of based around equipment data or other sensor data, made it seem like it was just that information in a vacuum. And to be honest, all of the good business benefit that you get isn't about just looking at that in a vacuum. It's really, in some respects, I mean, IoT data is a subset of the larger big data movement, and you want to be able to pull together all of the existing operational data that you have and other public data sources, along with this maybe new source of data, to be able to achieve some of the goals that you want to do. And likewise, same thing. I mean, the easy justification for investing some of this technology in the short run is cost savings. Because if you can sort of define what that is, it's a very easy ROI model. But the real benefit is how can you unlock some new business models? And there is a company that we've been working with that, you know, so a great case in point, you know, delivering of fracking chemicals out to a site. And today, you know, they would do that in a liquid form. What they want to be able to do is dehydrate that and save a lot of that logistic cost. But the concern is, how do I make sure that when I rehydrate that product out in the field, that it's going to be the same consistency and composition as it was back in the plant? And by using, you know, these kind of technologies, you can ensure that. And so, you know, but it requires you to have to think a little bit differently about how you do business.
Wrapping up here, one of the first stories I did, I think this was the second story I did. The first story was, but the oil people aren't making money. The people selling picks and shovels was. It was a modern day oil boom back when it was $100 oil. But the story I did, the second story, which really I'm very much proud of because I'm seeing it play out right now. And the reason why I'm interviewing you was the stories was this is not an oil boom, but it's a technology boom. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think that what it means to me a little bit is a lot of the things that people are chasing, like predictive failure and condition-based maintenance and optimization scenarios. I mean, these concepts aren't necessarily new concepts. I mean, they've been things that have been around the industry and lots of other industries for a while. But I think that there has been concern about whether or not they're really delivering, they ever delivered on what they could do. And I think the reason now why so many companies are getting excited about this is that what might have seemed like a little bit of science fiction, or maybe you got somewhere but you didn't get accurate enough, that the processing power, the availability of communications, the cost of implementing these solutions is coming down by the day. And so now all of a sudden it's not just the majors that are getting an opportunity to do this, but other companies as well. And it is being driven a lot by technology. Now, the thing I always try to temper it with a little bit is, you know, it's not just that data analytics or some of these technologies are a silver bullet. It's how they make the people that are already in that industry work smarter and faster. You know, it's kind of that old analogy of doing that. And so, you know, subject matter experts are still incredibly important in delivering these solutions, but it's bringing that together with the technology that I think is getting people excited.
Yeah, and for me, what amazed me about it was that, from one, I saw what you guys were doing on the internal side in terms of streamlining basically business models, helping companies rewrite business models, really, at the end of the day. And then I saw what, like, these polymer companies were doing and these upstream companies and the fracking companies. And I couldn't believe the amount of intellectual technology crossing the road with physical technology. And then when you throw in Moore's Law, which is, what is it, every 18 months, the processor doubles in speed and shrinks twice in size. I just was like, this is one of the most incredible technology booms driven by oil and gas, by the extraction of this shale boom revolution out there. And so to me, that's why I just, it was like on sensory overload a little bit. So I don't know if you got any comments on that, but that's where I was coming from.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, the potential is huge. You know, there's some naysayers that might say that oil and gas might have been a little bit of laggards in taking advantage of some of this, but I've been to a bunch of oil and gas-related trade shows lately, and maybe a couple of years ago, there were a lot of people poking around, like, you know, what is it, what does it mean? And now those conversations have transitioned into, let me show you what I've done. And we're going to see more and more of that, I think, going forward. And there's just, again, so much opportunity, and the technology is there that I understand that for some people it can almost feel overwhelming because it's a lot of technical terms and it's a lot of things that you may not understand in your business. But the reality is if you can ground yourself in what it is that you're really trying to achieve, there are companies out there that can help you figure out the technology part. But it's a combination of understanding what do you want to do as a business, and other companies working with you can help you get there.
Dave McCarthy, B Squared. Any final thoughts you might have? Anything you want to reiterate? Anything we left out? Anything you want to accentuate?
I think that there's a great opportunity in oil and gas. I think that you're starting to see now some first movers really start taking advantage of this. You know, one of the things that I hear people say all the time is they're almost worried if they're too late. You know, they read a lot in the news, and they see what other people are doing, and they're worried about, you know, what does it mean for their business. And usually what I try to caution people with is to say that it's not too late. The horse hasn't left the barn yet. I mean, there's still a lot of people figuring this out, but now is the time. You need to really start understanding what these strategies mean for you and how this technology can help you transform your business, because in a few years, you might feel left behind. So it's a great industry. I love working in oil and gas. I've been spending a lot of time in Houston and Calgary, and so really looking forward to see how this continues to mature.
And that was Dave McCarthy of B Square. To listen to this podcast or other podcasts, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly Crude Life newsletter. We're also on social media. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Those links, of course, are available at our website at crudelife.com. And once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting the Crude Life Media Network. They keep interviews like this free. So if you have a moment, go to our website, click on our sponsors link, and you can take a look at the sponsors there, see if there's anybody you know or anybody you might want to do some business with. We'd appreciate that very much because they support the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up, you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom and the challenges that he may be faced, when he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
That's it for this episode. My name is Jason Spies. Till next time, be happy, and remember, sometimes life can just be crude. We'll see you next time, folks.
It's a cold draft laying low to the floor. Blankets on the couch trying to keep me warm. Well, that's just part of living here. Snow's falling, wind's starting to blow. Season's drifting up by my front door. Well, life slows down at a few below. You're walking out.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
It's a robber shining with a mocking sound. A frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Riding up the smiling faces of the people passing by. It's the Broadway shining with the marquee sign. Frozen cobblestone reflects.
reflects the night. Small city, it's a big time life. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that I know. And I'm thinking, I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Hope my car stops when I go. Car's dead, the engine's froze. I feel the wind chill down to my toes. Well, I'm glad I don't live too far away. Oh, well, the moonlight shining on my walk home. I'm breathing in cold, they're exhaling smoke. So quiet, I can hear it all. And I'm walking out. I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm